with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 once again, and my text is from verse 7 down to verse 12. And I've entitled this message simply, Asking and Receiving. Our Lord says in verse 7, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. In verse 8, when he says, For everyone that asketh, it's not everybody, but he's talking about those that are his chosen children. When they're asking, if every one of them that asks receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. In verse 9, then he gives the graciousness of God when any of his children ask. It says, What man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And then verse 12, the conclusion begins with therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now the instruction of our Lord here is very simple and plain, but men will always try to pervert it and make it say something other than what it does. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, we saw that the Lord instructed not to be therefore like unto the heathen, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask them. In fact, the previous verse 7 says, When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So there are some that think, well, the more that I use words, the more I insist that God will give me what I want. But that's not what this is teaching. On the other hand, there are those that reason, why should we even need to seek or to pray or to knock? Because God's sovereign, just like it says there, and He knows what we need before we ask, so why pray? So these are some questions that I pray the Lord will enable us to find the answer here in this text, in verse 7 down to verse 12 of Matthew 7. So let's look here in verses 7 and 8, the instructions of our Lord. And again, these are to His disciples. These are to His children to keep asking and to seek and to knock. We're not to ask or seek or knock in order to get our will or our way, but rather it is that we might know the will of God. If you look at the order of these three commands, ask, seek, knock, you'll see a progression in intensity going from asking to seeking and to knocking with more persistence. The more desperate my need and me being made aware of it, the more intensely I'm going to seek the Lord and ask of Him and knock that He might answer that need. We're not praying to inform God. God directs all things. He knows the end from the beginning. And so that's not why we pray, as if somehow to make God aware of our need. But just like with our own children or grandchildren, when they're in some urgent need, we expect that they will come to us and will ask if we can intervene. We expect them to seek us out and to knock so that we can assist them or answer that need. So here in this threefold description of prayer as asking, seeking, and knocking, we actually see different aspects of prayer depending on the situation. I trust that every day when we awaken, that our first thoughts are toward the Lord as to how He will direct our day. And we're encouraged then to ask the Lord's will and to seek His direction and to wait upon Him to show us those things that He has purposed for us in that everyday need. Just like we saw already in the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples back in Matthew 6, beginning with verse 9, all the way down to verse 14. Remember, this is all the same teaching of our Lord that we're looking at here that began back all the way in chapter 5. So if the Lord comes back to this teaching again, how important it must be for us to be listeners and to learn of Him. That's why in Matthew 6, 9, you see the simple asking, the seeking, the knocking, he says in verse 9 of Matthew 6, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, what? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we can see this same progression that the Lord teaches here in Matthew 7, back here in how he taught his disciples to pray, beginning with simply asking that his name be glorified. And again in verse 10 of Matthew 6, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's asking that the Lord's will be done. And then it moves more to seeking. In other words, as our need is made evident, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. We're seeking Him for that daily sustenance, whether physical or spiritual, because He is the living bread. And to seek Him for a forgiving spirit, where it says in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's going to be occasion today to seek His forgiveness. That's the asking and seeking. But then there's the knocking. Whenever there's an urgency, particularly with regard to temptation and trials, and we see that in verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You can see the verse 13 is the more urgent, if you will, because yes, we need our daily bread. We need to ask the Lord and seek Him for forgiveness. But oh, how we need to knock and ask him that he would be pleased to deliver us from evil. So, in the word ask, we're to come boldly, it says, before the throne of grace. We ask with confidence, knowing who God is, but also with humility, knowing that we are before a holy God. And we're to seek the Lord because he is the source of all things, but we do so with care, knowing that he's the one that determines what it is we receive, when, where, and how. And there are times when we will face situations that require us to knock with earnestness and urgency, but the word there, to knock, continue to knock, means he answers when he will, but we do so with perseverance. But we don't knock to force God's hand or to bend him to our will. It's just the opposite. Our will needs to bow to his. I believe there's something here in the simplicity with which our Lord encourages his disciples to seek him. A child doesn't require a high education in order to ask or to seek or to knock. This is instruction given that even a child understands. I don't have to be a philosopher in order to understand what it is to knock. A man who is dumb, in other words, can't even speak, or a blind man is encouraged to knock. They don't have to have sight or speech even to knock. That's why we see in Scripture that our salvation is not dependent upon our knowledge of the Lord, but rather him knowing us. And he does encourage us to knock, to ask, to knock, and to seek. There are many that make what they call praying far too sophisticated, and it's more of a speech or an eloquence, the way that someone addresses God, rather than in simplicity. Oh, that the Lord would grant us simple hearts by his Spirit to always seek him in our time of need. And the Lord here gives us this promise. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Now, God promises to answer, and he does say it will be given to you, but it doesn't necessarily say it will be given to you exactly when, where, and how you ask. Over in the book of James, it tells us that they ask, but they receive not because they ask amiss. In other words, they're not asking for God's glory, but they're asking for their own personal interest, and thereby the Lord does not honor that type of asking. But here, it's a matter of when led by the Spirit, because that's the true prayer, when the Spirit so directs the heart of one of his children to diligently seek the Lord, we know that the Lord is going to answer that prayer because it's the Spirit that is directing. There's no prayer that a child of God can address to God that he does not answer, because prayer, true prayer, is always directed by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that intercedes on our behalf, because we don't know how to pray as we ought. Now it may be that the Lord does not immediately answer that prayer how we think. Many times the Lord will direct us to pray and then continue to cause us to pray because he himself would have us completely dependent upon him for the answer and not think that just because we have repeated certain words that he'll answer what we desire. There are so many times when I think back to how the Lord has caused me to cry unto him, and he has answered, but he's answered in a different way than I could ever imagine, and I'm thankful it's that way because he's God. He knows our needs far greater than what we do. And so here in verses 9 through 11, our Lord gives an illustration of God's goodness and kindness so that when we do seek him, he does answer, but he's never going to give us anything that will harm us. If a young child was to go and ask his father for a very sharp knife or a machete, do you think the father's just going to give it to him?
Why mwana mwana yokabe pamphini kapena chikwanje chonola kuno kwambiri koma ali mwana wakhatu mwana wochepa ukaza kuti akatawa zapo zokupasa chikete cho.
The father's just not going to hand over to a child an instrument that could be of harm to him, even if the child doesn't understand the danger. And that's why the Lord gives that illustration here in verse 9. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread? It's normal for a son to ask bread. But it says there, will he give him a stone? Now the son may ask bread, and the father give him bread, and the son may think, well, that's not the kind of bread that I want. Well, that's not for us to determine. That's the father's determining. We thank him for whatever bread he gives us. We think of the woman from Canaan who sought the Lord, and the Lord said, it's not good to take the children's bread and give it unto dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat of what? The crumbs that fall from the master's table. Such was her desire, even just crumbs, if that's what the Lord has purposed. But we know the father's not going to give him a stone. It might look like bread, but the father doesn't play with his children when they're hungry. He's going to provide them exactly what they need. That's what our Lord is showing here. Or in verse 10, if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? There are certain types of fish. If you look at them, they look like a snake. But the Lord is not going to play with his children. Instead of giving them a fish, giving them something that has venom and that can do them harm. But there again, we know there are different types of fish, and we might enjoy one type over another, but when you're hungry, you receive of the Lord's hand that which is necessary to feed you and to meet that need at that time, and you receive it gladly. It might not be exactly what you expect, but it certainly is not going to be something to harm you. It's only unbelief and pride that causes us to question God or to murmur about what he gives us when we do ask him. That's unbelief. That's why the Lord in verse 11 compares God to who we are. He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give what? Good things to them that ask him.
Mundimea 11, ambezwa nafani zila sobano, ifeo ngoiba ndia atate, woira. Orena kuti chomwecho ngati inu muri woipa, muzi wakupasa nanu mpasu zabwino. Kopo sapota linanga Atate wanu wakumwamba, azapasa zinthu zabwino kwa iwo akumpempha iye.
What a beautiful picture here then of the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. God is a loving God toward His children. He chose them and He sent His Son to redeem them, and by His Spirit has drawn them to Christ. Shall He not give us all things freely to enjoy? We're nothing but evil, and yet God mercifully directs us to do things for the good of others. But that's not to be compared to who God is, who is our Father in heaven, and gives His children everything for their good and His glory. And so the Lord concludes His teaching here in verse 12. Really, it goes all the way back to chapter 5 when He says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." This is what the scriptures teach.
Chifuwa chaache, zindu zili zose mukafuna kuti anu achitire inu, inuso muachitire iyo zotero, pakuti icho ndicho chilamulo ndi aneneri.
The point is that whatever relationship we may have, whether it's in the world or whether it's in the family of God, we're to seek the good of others, just like the Lord has been merciful to us. We're not to hold grudges, we're not to be vengeful and seek others' harm, but we're to prayerfully deal with others as we would want them to deal with us.
I
remember growing up when I was a child, one thing that our teachers always insisted on, and even my parents, they would say, "Remember the golden rule." What's the golden rule? And of course, the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There are some that think that that was made up by some philosophers or people that want to teach good morals. No, it's right here in the scriptures, verse 12, that whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. The sad reality is that because we are evil, as it says there in verse 11, we often don't care about how we might hurt or harm others. Our only interest, sadly, is self-interest. We want them to treat us right, even though we would do the opposite to them. But here then is again the instruction of the Lord to his children that given the Spirit of God, they are going to deal with others even as they know that the Lord has dealt with them in mercy and forgiveness. And so it is that we desire to deal with others. When the Lord says in verse 12 at the end, this is the law and the prophets. He's given the sum of the law and the prophets. That is the Old Testament. To love God, first of all, with all your heart, soul, and strength. And two, to love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law is summed up in those two commandments. Now, that's pretty easy to understand, but the problem is, it's not easy to obey. None can. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came and fulfilled it. He loved his Father with all his heart, soul, and strength. And he did love his neighbor as himself. But whether it's easy or not, those of us that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're instructed here to manifest that same mercy that the Lord has shown to us toward others, not to look down our nose at others or to think less of them or to seek our own interest over that of others. No, we're to seek Christ's glory. Now to conclude, let me come back to the question that I asked at the beginning, and that is, since God is sovereign and knows what we need even before we ask, why should we then pray? Let me give you five quick answers here. First, we pray for fellowship with God, knowing who God the Father is. Think of your own children. Don't you like it when they come to you and they want to speak with you and talk with you and take time with you? That's why we pray, because we desire fellowship with God. Prayer is a privilege and a blessing granted to God's children through the Lord Jesus Christ. If it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ as the mediator, we couldn't even approach unto God. But now he's opened a new and living way, and so we come to the Father through him. We enter into fellowship with him, expressing our heart's needs and concerns to him without fear. that somehow he's going to condemn us. Secondly, we pray to express to God our dependence upon Him for all things. Everything we have comes from His hand. We're not self-sufficient. In other words, that there are certain things we can handle ourselves. No, we depend on God for all things, from the least to the greatest of our need. And so we humbly bring our requests before Him, acknowledging our dependence on Him and His wisdom and provision. But thirdly, as God's children, our hearts are strengthened by that relationship with Him. Just like human relationships, when you converse with others and you fellowship with one another, you're strengthening those ties and relationships. Well, it's the same with God. We can't be any more than who we are in Christ, but oh, how our hearts need to be strengthened by Him. Prayer is not just asking, but it is expressing our love for God. It's worshiping and expressing that trust in God. We do all that in prayer, and so our faith, that faith He's given us, is strengthened through our seeking Him. But fourthly, we pray because we don't know what the will of the Lord is. He knows the end from the beginning, but we don't. And so we seek Him for direction, that He would give us an understanding of His will, and that our own hearts would be then aligned to His purpose. Sometimes the Lord will answer immediately and say, yes. Sometimes He makes it plain that the answer is no. But many times the answer is what? Wait. That's why the scriptures say, wait on the Lord. We need to know His will. That's why we seek Him. And then fifthly, I'd say we pray because of our own spiritual need. It's not just physical needs. So often that's when we come to God because we have some physical material need. No, our spiritual need is greater, and that's why we pray. Prayer is not merely getting what we want, but rather acknowledging our own spiritual need before God and for his presence and his intervention. That's what sustains our souls. And we acknowledge him as being the source of all of our need. Well, I hope that this has been helpful. I know it has been for me as I've prepared and preached it, how needy I am. But I'm thankful for a gracious God who gives to his children, because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything they need. Not necessarily all they want, but certainly everything they need.
Ni pemhero limene lima limbikisa miyo yatu. Kwa sangu tizofuna za tubiratu kuma miyo yatu ya uzi mkutika limbikisa.